Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is sourced from the LCA website, and I give thanks to the original author. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The young mum and their daughter attended the first three nights of the congregation's Christmas celebration. Normally, the congregation hosted a week-long event of music, entertainment and fun that shares the good news of Jesus, birth in a vibrant and different way. The local pastor sat down with her on the third night with her daughter and played games with the other kids. He then thanked the mum for bringing her family so regularly. She was appreciative of the opportunity to have some fun, and she really liked the music, even the children's Christmas pageant. The pastor invited her then to the Christmas Eve worship, offering her the small brochure of the Christmas worship schedule. She refused. "No thanks," she said. "We like the fun things, but we're not religious." The pastor persisted with a smile. She grinned back and said, "No offence, but most of this religious stuff seems to me like a load of horse you know what." She wasn't aggressive, she was just stating her what was on her heart, and then went back to the festivities with her daughter. The gospel heading today was the cost of following Jesus. Was that the issue for this woman? The cost of following Jesus. Well, what about this man? He was a farmer and a good one at that. He was morally and ethically sound person. He would give the shirt off his back and race ahead of you into a burning building to save your kids. He had never been part of a Christian church, but he wouldn't begrudge your membership and participation. He wouldn't belittle your worship of following Jesus, but he wouldn't join in. He doesn't see a need. He openly marvels at the hurtful and often foolish things churches and Christians do. He takes life as it comes and complains about life's hardships a lot less than many of his neighbouring Lutheran farmers. Know anyone like that? We struggle just as much today with the issue of following Jesus as the people did when he walked this earth. I can give you story after story of the confusion and ignorance and indifference that is reflected by people today. Just like so many of the responses that Jesus experienced during his earthly ministry. Luke's account, gospel account today, is concerned about that reality as it recalls the life and work of Jesus. For the young missionary church of the early centuries, it gave insights for living in a very difficult and changing environment. No less for us today, God wants us to the continuing mission of the church in the 21st century to learn from this account also. Today's sermon text from Luke chapter 9 is at a point in Luke's gospel where Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. He sets his face resolutely, laser focused on heading to Jerusalem and completing his work. He sends his messengers ahead of him, people who tell of his coming, people to prepare the way before him. They go to a Samaritan village and are not received. They are turned away. And so James and John, rightly labelled the sons of thunder, two of his disciples, want to burn to cinders those negative, rejecting Samaritans for their unbelief. Not a particularly good response from either of them. And Jesus doesn't support their idea at all. In fact, that tells the two of them in no uncertain terms that this is not the way. So they continue on their journey elsewhere. Some people then come to Jesus and they offer to follow him. They want to be his disciples. At last, some progress in mission, it seems. But what does Jesus do? He basically sends them away. He throws up a big reality check in front of them. To the first, he says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me," and then goes on to say, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." To another, Jesus says, "No one who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." When people come and want to follow Jesus, he goes and sends them away. Not perhaps the best mission strategy. So what is going on here? We could understand it if at this particular point the disciples began to ask themselves whether following Jesus was anything like they had expected or hoped it would be. Is it worth it if he is so determined to go to Jerusalem? Is it worth it if no one wants to follow him? If he's just going to be rejected? Is it worth it if he just keeps on turning prospective followers away? Perhaps you could understand how they might have felt. Haven't we been going on for years in our church about mission? And all that seems to be happening is that we are shrinking and getting older and greyer with each passing year. We are still hesitant about welcoming the stranger in our midst. We don't seem to find it any easier to invite others to the faith. Sometimes we have a clear vision or understanding. We struggle to have a clear vision or understanding about what we're supposed to be on about as a Christian church in the community. And on top of that, we are living in a society that is becoming increasingly cynical about church. More and more people openly state that they have no faith. More and more people are turning to alternative faiths, and fewer people are regular attending church. What's the point? This Christian stuff, is it all worth it? And I'm sure you could add your personal experiences to this. Many of us have probably had a few moments in life where we have wondered, what's the point in believing or trusting so much or hanging in there so desperately when things just don't ever seem to get any better or change even a little bit for the good? How many of you have sat beside the bedside of a loved one and prayed for their recovery and it has seemed to no avail? Have you ever reasoned with a child or a teenager to change their way of life or come back to church and it hasn't happened? Have you prayed for a loved one to come to faith, maybe for years, without seeing any good or apparent indication that your prayers are being answered? Maybe it's your own life that you want some change in, some problem you want to overcome, some shameful sin you want to be rid of, or some temptation you didn't want to experience anymore. And just when you think you've made it and you find you're back at square one again, committing the same old sin. You are still stuck with it like Paul's thorn in the flesh that he never seemed to be able to get rid of. So this Christian stuff, this mission stuff, is it worth it? Why not just leave people alone, let them believe what they want to believe? Just let them things be as they will be. Who cares? But even that does not work for us, does it? Not when we've been touched ourselves by the love and grace of Jesus. Something happens to us inside of us by God's Spirit that we cannot turn away from. You're still a Christian, aren't you, despite everything that you have struggled with in life? In fact, sometimes those struggles make you even more convinced and committed than you were before. More than ever, we pray for and hope in and believe in and work for the mission of the church in our day and age and world. What is it that makes it still worthwhile and still gives us a heart for telling others and wanting their lives touched by Jesus as well? It can only be the one who goes to Jerusalem and to the cross. And he goes with us still. He says, I am with you to the end of the age. For out of the Jerusalem experience of Jesus, you come to the only faith and conviction that is possible, that this Jesus is not just one of the prophets, another one who was slain by the people in Jerusalem, but this Jesus is no less than the Son of God, who has come into this sin-filled world to show us his love, his acceptance of us, his commitment to walk with us the journey in this world and everything it can throw at us, and to finally to take us to be with him where he is. He will not let us go. God will not let you go. God will go with you through everything he has to go. God will go through everything he has to go through to stay at our side, to walk with us, to carry us, to comfort our hearts, to save us, and to give us hope. Yes, Jesus was God at work in this world, working solely for us human beings and our eternal future. If I don't see that as true, then I deny all faith and belief in God and commit myself to nothing, which really means being led by every passing whim, as the saying goes, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. However, if I receive God's revelation of his Son as true, that Jesus is God in the flesh, come down for me in my salvation, then I have no other place to go. My only hope is to follow him and to be with him, because where God is, that is the only place that true hope can live. And that's the only thing that can make the difference. The only thing that makes this Christian stuff worthwhile, the only thing that gives us the impetus and reason for mission, the only thing that gives us any reason to hang in there during suffering or rejection or failure or whatever. Because God came in the person of Jesus Christ to be with us, not to turn this world into some kind of paradise, but to be with us in this world here and now so that we could be with him in the world to come. And because of Jesus, God will not let anything take us away from him. Not rejection or hatred or suffering or loss of family or friends or poverty or homelessness or even death. Nothing will be allowed to take us away from him. Nothing can separate us from Christ and his love. So because of that, we can keep telling others the wonderful good news of how God has come to our rescue through Jesus. We can persist in praying for our families or our suffering loved ones, because God in Jesus is also there for them. And in doing so, we can help them come to see and believe that too. When you come to know God through Jesus, when he touches your heart and becomes your God, there is nowhere else you can go or be. And nothing will stop you, him being there for you, because God has come to you in Jesus, and he always will be with you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.